Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Sunbury Motors, Sunbury Motors in Sunbury, sunburymotors.com, Sunbury Motors Kia, Sunbury in Hummel's Wharf. I guess coming up a little bit later on will be Matt Cotrillo about 1:15. Matt has some things to talk about. I think he's a little upset about Mr. Rick Pitino. Neil Coulon will join us at 2:05 for some NFL talk. And Todd Zelicki from MLB.com will join us from spring training to talk a little bit of Phillies today. It's nice to think about when it's so darn cold out.
Yeah, it's been cold out. And we can talk about, I was shocked that they were going to make Bryce Harper a permanent first baseman. All right. Okay. We got Matt today, by the way. He's going to call in, as you said. And coming up on Thursday's show at 1:35, we're going to have Rob Brooks. Who is Rob Brooks? He is the play-by-play voice of Iowa women's basketball. I go back with Rob, 35 years. And his dad, his late father, Bob Brooks, broadcast Iowa football and basketball in one form or another for over 50 years. Loved his dad. And Brooksy's a great guy. But yeah, I got a hold of him this morning. I says, you want to do Thursday show? He goes, yeah, it'd be great. So he'll be on at 1:35. And I'm trying to think, who the heck's the star on that team?
Well, I guess we're going to find out what it's like to follow the Beatles, huh?
Well, he said, are you going to call me or am I going to call you? And I said, well, I texted him back. I said, well, Rob, we'd make Ed Podolak call us. I said, but you're special. We'll call you. And Podolak is their color analyst for football. Right. And Ed Podolak is an he's a great guy. I like Ed a lot. He and Jack get along incredibly well. So, all right. So we should take a break because once he takes a deep breath and starts going, let's be honest with you, is there any way to stop him?
I mean, I could hang up on him, but that'd probably be a little mean.
Oh, and that would just set him off. No end. I mean, you could do what I do when the suit's on. I usually just get up and leave. I'd go out, hit a couple of golf balls in the backyard, come back. He's still talking. It's like, great. I go back out. I think I'll take out a wedge. I think I'll do some chipping for a while. Go ahead.
Leave the window open. Make sure it's a breath or if he actually stopped.
Right. Yeah. Oh, rarely is it a breath. It's just one and go. I'm talking, the suit is go, go, go the entire time. And I'm telling you, I went to an IndyCar race, and that IndyCar race was about, I kept going around and in circles over and over and over again, and I loved how the circles were going. It was just a lot of fun to watch all the great drivers go around in a circle, a circle, a circle. And then they went into the pits, and I thought, the guy's, he's not breathing. We'll take a break here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I was listening to the Suit to the Evangelical commercial. He's talking about pain influencing your life, and it reminded me of our staff meetings. All right, so let's bring in Matt Cotrillo, as it's time now for everybody to get angry and enjoy it.
I remember those staff meetings, and yes, that is quite accurate.
I mean, it was, I mean, it's water dripping on the forehead. Like, really? Fabulous. Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a point. No. What? No. Can I make a point? No.
We got stuff to do, so.
I was always bad about that. People at Channel 3 would always come up to me and they'd say, we have a staff meeting. I said, I think I'd just rather stay and work. Well, this is work. I go, not really.
There it is.
Okay. Oh, I know. I wouldn't go. So, here comes the dangerous question of the week. What's on your mind?
Well, speaking of painful, I'm going to go right to one Rick Pitino, who, first of all, is lucky to even have a job. Because to me, I don't care what the guy's accomplished on the court, because of all the stuff that he's done off the court, this guy is an embarrassment to college basketball and is the painness to college basketball for all the stuff that he's done off the court. And not this is the worst thing in the world that he's said or done with his post-game comments after St. John's lost to Seton Hall and they blew that 19-point first-half lead. But this is more of just like of, dude, know your place now and also read the room. That's what has me about this. For those of you that didn't see it over the weekend, he basically ripped into his team afterwards. And when he questioned about his players' toughness and mentioned several by name while describing their athletic shortcomings, he said, "Our lateral quickness and our toughness is just something I never witnessed in all my years of coaching. We are so non-athletic that we can't guard anybody without fouling." Again, that's not the worst thing in the world, but the fact that he named players and ripped them to that extent just... you're not helping the situation at all. I mean, I get you're answering the question, but I think if he had just left it as our lateral quickness and toughness, just something I've never witnessed in my years of coaching, I think that's fine. It's still a little bold, but that's not out of the ordinary than what we heard. But then to go on and say we're so non-athletic and the worst I've ever been, and you name players' names, that stuff you leave in between closed doors. That stuff you don't put in the media. Especially if we're dealing with these college athletes nowadays that can go to the transfer portal in the blink of an eye. And guess what? In this case, I wouldn't blame them for going to the portal after that in the blink of an eye. Now, I get it. He's in a tough spot. It's in his first year. A lot of these guys are just transfer guys anyway that really haven't played with one another. I get all that. But again, it's reading the room and knowing your place now in the sport. You're not Rick Pitino of the 1980s when everybody thought you were the greatest coach since sliced bread. You are now Rick Pitino, who had all those accomplishments, but has tons of scandals up the wazoo at Louisville and other things that happen off the court, and you don't have the greatest image anymore. And you basically are lucky that you have this job at a fairly prestigious school in St. John's nowadays in a good conference after everything that's happened. So you better watch yourself, Rick Pitino, because... you keep this up, then guess what? You're going to end up right back where you were, back on your couch. As simple as that. This guy's already been an embarrassment for college basketball, and he's not helping himself again with these latest comments.
Some of that I agree with, and some of that I can see where he's coming from. How about that? So some of that I agree with about his place in the sport. Some of that I agree with... you know, the problems off the court, obviously, you can't help it. But I can also understand his frustration with what he has. And I'll tell you the part that resonated with me. Because, look, am I around practices all the time? Yes. In fact, I went to the winter workout this morning for football. And the number of times that I have to hear a football or a basketball coach repeat what they need to do, I don't remember a time where it was like that. And he mentions that in there about the ability to listen. And this is where the college players need to understand the point I'm about to make. In the pros, if you don't absorb and retain information, they will cut you. That's a fact of life. Right? If you do not retain and absorb information, they will cut you. And former pro players who are coaches try to tell their players that. Right? And that's something, if you read what he's talking about in here, he talks about having to constantly repeat himself. And that is something I've seen over and over again. I'll give you an example in my own classroom. Okay? I write up on the board the parameters of the project. So I wrote up on the board 155 to 205, one sound bite minimum, and go from there. Now, I've got 22 young people in my class. Everybody did it between 155 and 205, except for one guy. His was 237. Like, I said, 237. I said, I didn't just say it. I wrote it. So the next project was 55 seconds to 105 with one soundbite. Okay? And it had to be turned in by 9 o'clock in the morning on Monday. So everybody, for the most part, did exactly what they were supposed to do. They're fine. They're doing well. I had one guy hand it in at a minute and 42 seconds and Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Really? Okay. Wrote it down. Made the class repeat it back to me. That way, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been there. As a student, I've been there, yeah.
Really? I mean, so, and then I don't understand why my grade's this way. I said, I explained it to you in the write-up. I said, you lost points because you went over. You lost points because you were late. I said, if this were a job, I said, you'd be on probation right now with one more strike and you're out.
Let alone you wouldn't have made the broadcast either because it didn't match what was needed.
Right, exactly. But I'm saying this is the kind of retention, and he talks about this in here. He talks about it. He says, I sometimes want my players to hear my words and read my words. He said, that was my intention on Sunday. Okay? Coaches put out messages in press conferences all the time. All the time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just think there's a time for that. I don't think Rick Pitino's in that category because I think sometimes, yeah, you do need to do that if you're in the right situation. I just don't think this was the right situation for Pitino to do something like that, given all the circumstances that I talked about earlier. But
right.
I think your point is totally fair because I see it with Bucknell too, with both the men's and women's basketball teams. I won't name names, but there have been plenty of times this year where I'm sitting at the scorer's table and I don't hear what either John Griffin III or what Trevor Woodruff draws up, but they'll come out of the timeout. I watch what happens, and then they're both standing right in front of me, and I go, oh, and I hear, what is he or she doing? Or, and that. It's like and then Trevor Woodruff even said, you can't tell them anything. They don't retain information. They can't retain information. And so, yeah, it's a problem all over the place. So There's no question there, and I think that's a fair point that you make.
And there was a way that Penn State wanted to attack Nebraska on Saturday, and it was similar as to how they wanted to attack Texas A&M. And every time out, they kept telling you, look, you've got to go and do this. I'm not going to explain what they wanted him to do because they may play him again. Right? Like, Joe Crisman finally pulled me aside, and we talked about this yesterday. He said, we're going to have the talk. I said, okay. Right? Right? I said, if you don't listen, you'll get cut talk. He goes, yep. Here's the bottom line. Life's good right now. Okay? You're playing college basketball. You've got an NIL opportunity, the whole thing. But guess what? You go to a pro team and you're like, oh, that was the play. They look at you and go, oh, there's the plane. Okay, don't worry about the play. Worry about the plane.
Exactly.
Because that's your next. That's the next place you're going to be.
And you know what? If Mike Rhodes wants to do something like that, I don't think he's that kind of guy. At least I don't get that off. You know that better than me. That he even could be in a position to do that because he's trying to get the attention of his players in the first year. He's in a very similar situation to Rick Pitino in the fact that this first year he's dealing with a lot of transfer players and not a lot of core people that he's brought in yet. But Rick Pitino is not in that place. He needs to tread waters more carefully to kind of restore his image, which is going to be extremely difficult to do.
Yeah, it's interesting because when Dick and I went back, we talked to Keith Urgo and then talked to Rick. And you know, it was before the game, so Rick just wanted to talk about horse racing. So, because Dick was there. Oh no, Rick has horses. That's why. And you look, that's fine.
So it's not just the suit. That's good to know.
No. Rick owns horses.
Oh, okay. Well, then he really should be asking. That's good.
Yeah. No. Look, it's before the game. It's a great release to talk about something else sometimes before a game.
I mean, absolutely.
People think that you should be drawing up plays the entire time because you're not concentrating your job. Look, man, if you're not ready, like football, you're not ready on Thursday, you're not ready. Okay, there's nothing you do Friday to change it. I've told people that 1,000 times over. You can overdo and overthink.
Back to cutting the lawn on game day again.
Well,
I'm sorry. That story is probably one of my favorite memories of my 4 years doing the show full-time was that story against Auburn for the whiteout that night. I will never forget that.
Well, I told the student, I said, what do you expect? What do you want me to do, pace? I'm going to go cut the lawn. I said, guess what? You know what that means on Sunday? He said, what? I said, it means the lawn's been cut. I can do something else.
There you go. Put your feet up after the night game. I get it. I got a playoff game tonight. I'm courtside for our game tonight for SECVA. What did I do this morning? I was putting away kids' clothes and emptying the dishwasher because I'm home. And I'm actually home. I got to get stuff done so the wife is happy for later.
Why don't you make the kids do it?
Well, Luke actually does help a little bit. Luke actually helps us clean the bathroom, believe it or not, because he likes doing this spraying the cleaner spray. So little by little, we're getting there. We're starting to get some help. It's nice.
Your kids are going to be doing everything. Your feet are going to be up all the time when they get older.
I got three boys? Exactly. That's the goal.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up. Every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Doug Birdsong texted me. Staff meetings with the suit, all pain, no gain. Yes.
I'm lucky. I don't have to do those.
Ooh, I know.
Maybe
I
should keep my mouth shut. And maybe.
No. I'm out of it. So, I'm sitting over here with just that feeling of inner peace. All right. So, let's get to the big story of the day, and that is what the college football playoff did today. Well, before we get to that, we'll give you the winter workout winners today. And let's go with Danny O'Brien at quarterback, Bo Prabula, Jaywan Sider at running back, Quentin Anthony, Marcus Hagans at wide receiver, went with Amari Evans, Ty Howell tight ends, Tyler Warren, Phil Trautwein offensive line, Javen Williams. Deion Barnes went with Zariah Fisher. Tom Allen at linebacker, Tyler Elsden. Terry Smith, Cam Miller at corner. Safety, Zaki Wheatley for Anthony Poindexter. And Blaze Minnick was the choice by Justin Lustig among the special teamers. He is the backup long snapper to Tyler Dzanski. So those are the winners there. Now let's get to college football. And this is a winner because the new format has been approved. They've made the they've decided to change it to what we've talked about, 5-7. That means the five highest-ranked conference champions, and then the next seven highest-ranked teams as determined by the playoff selection committee. Now, it had to be unanimous, and we know what's happened with the Pac-12. It's down to, let me put it this way, the Pac-12 used to need a conference room to have its meetings. Now they just need a booth in the corner of the restaurant. It's just Oregon State and Washington State.
I was going to say, they could almost do it at the bar.
Yeah. But they passed quietly a rule saying in order to qualify as a conference for one of the automatic bids, you had to have at least 8 schools in the conference. And immediately for Washington State and Oregon State, there was no need to hold on anymore, hoping for an automatic qualifier for the Pac-12. When that happened, it wasn't going to happen. They actually had a much better chance instead of holding on to this. They have a much better chance now with the extra at-large bid, which opens up the door for them. For the next 2 years, they will still have in place. Now, this is where it's going to get a little tricky. And this is where it's going to get a little tricky as to what they do first couple of years, because they still have the New Year's 6 arrangement, where if they can get the SEC champ, the Sugar Bowl, things like that, you know, that kind of arrangement. ACC champ down to the Orange Bowl. What they want to do is they want to, when the next 2 years are up and the new contract kicks in, they want all the New Year's Six to all be at large. And what they want to do is say, let's just take Georgia. Say, you have to take a Southern team the way it's set up, for the scenario I'm talking about. It's not like you take the Big Ten champion and, they go to the Rose Bowl, but in terms of proximity I'm talking about. Say Georgia's the number one overall seed. They then would get the choice of which bowl they want to be in for the quarterfinal. and instead of being obligated to go to the Sugar Bowl, they could then, if they want, pick the Peach Bowl. That is already the arrangement in college basketball. The number one overall seed in college basketball gets to select their region. It's not selected for them by the committee. The number one overall seed gets the privilege of selecting what region they want to play in. Well, that would be the same thing for this. The number one overall seed would pick which one of the bowls they wanted to play in. But they, you know, they have to wait 2 years before they can get that arrangement in place, unless they can somehow get the bowls to agree to it now. Gary Stokin from the Peach Bowl was actually here last Wednesday, and I talked to Gary for a little bit. The bowls have been so important over the years to the growth of college football and what, you know, and I've talked to Gary about that. And this year, the Peach Bowl, which Gary runs, is going to be a quarterfinal, and then it's independently bid out, but Mercedes-Benz Stadium and the Peach Bowl got the championship game as well. So you're going to get two this year. So they'll get both, quarterfinal and the title game. And to me, it's so important to keep those six bowls involved. Even though, you know, and I am fully in support of home games in the opening round. I think that's actually kind of cool.
I was looking something up at the beginning of this conversation and saw that Ross Dellinger reported yesterday that there is actually no TV deal yet. Haven't even seen a framework of it yet.
Right, and that was reported by almost everybody last week.
Huh.
Yeah.
I know what the way it was reported that they weren't sure, you know, what it was until they got all this stuff solved, but I didn't realize that they hadn't even seen any bit of framework on it either.
No. And that's I was surprised when I saw that. Like, oh, okay, everybody's reporting as if, you know, they're, you know, 6-year extension. The money was put in there, what, $1.3 billion? It was going to be $118 million a game.
That also makes me wonder why they wanted it out there.
I don't know.
I mean, somebody wanted it out there for some reason.
Yeah, if I were ESPN, I'd want it out there.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because what's today? February 20th. The first playoff games in 10 months. I'd come up with something. Y'all got 10 months.
I'm more thinking, man, if time flies, it doesn't seem football's been like boom.
I know. But 10 months to the first playoff game. On that Friday night, it'll be a standalone game with three games the next day on the 21st. But I'm fully in favor of 5-7. I've talked about 5-7 repeatedly on the show. They've done it. You could tell they wanted. You could tell they wanted 5-7 as well. They just had to get they just need to get everybody on board. And I don't think in the end it was difficult getting the Pac-12 on board because, you know, the seven at large is better for those two teams remaining anyway. They can't get an automatic. So take a shot at, you know, more at large opportunities. Now, whether they can get themselves into the top 12, we'll see. Because strength of schedule, because they're going to play primarily a Mountain West schedule, strength of schedule is going to be a problem for those two schools. They may be winning, but the strength of schedule is going to be called into play. Suddenly, with all due respect, you're playing Wyoming and Colorado State. You're not playing USC and Oregon. You're not playing Washington. You know, that's going to be a big issue.
Are they considered Group of Five schools now?
No, they're not because they're considered to be under the umbrella of Pac-12, a power conference, but they're going to have to do something more permanent. They're going to have to come up with something more permanent than this. I mean, they may drop down into a Group of Five designation. They don't want to, especially. And now the one thing that they will have going for them, and listen to this one. This year, I don't know if all these teams in the Pac-12, I don't know, how many bids might they get? They could get 3 to 4 bids. And it's all going to be from schools that are moving on to other conferences. And guess who gets all the money? Oregon State and Washington State. They get all the money. So every round that Arizona wins goes into the pool. Oregon State and Washington State are the only two they're going to get. Arizona will not get a dime of it because they're not members of the conference anymore. And the units go out over 6 years. So for the next 6 years, they're going to have this. Okay. So short-term financially, they're in great shape. Long-term financially, they got a huge problem. A gigantic problem. So I think same thing with the bowl money. Washington made it all the way to the championship game and the college football playoff money, and I don't think in distribution they get it. I mean, they might get it. Technically, they don't leave the conference until August 1st. So that's an interesting question as to whether when the checks are sent out. So if they're sent out August 2nd, they got a problem.
Well, I'm guessing if Washington wasn't getting their football money, we would have heard some sort of ruckus about it, wouldn't we?
No, not really, because they elected to leave.
Well,
I mean, in other words, like I said, everybody in the Pac-12 that makes the NCAA tournament this year, those schools will not see a dime of that money, because the distribution will take place after they have left the conference. Most of them for the Big 12 and 4 of them for the Big 10.
I don't know. The way it's going for the Pac-12 in basketball, Washington State might be their best bet other than Arizona.
Right. Well, I'm just saying. That's the oddity of this. When Florida Atlantic moved from Conference USA to the American, and Florida Atlantic went all the way to the Final Four last year, Florida Atlantic did not get a dime of the NCAA tournament money from Conference USA because they were out. Now, long term, can this work out great for them financially? Being in the American, it should work out better, but Florida Atlantic did not get any NCAA tournament, because those units carry over 6 years. Penn State was able to earn the Big Ten 2 units last spring, and that carries over the money from that for 6 years. So, and that's, which I think in the end ends up being about, $4.2 million for the Big Ten? And of course, Penn State gets distributions from, last year Michigan State went to the Sweet 16, Northwestern advanced to the second round, Maryland advanced to the second round, Penn State went to the second round. Everybody else lost in the first round, but you still get money for making the tournament. And this goes into a pool, they start splitting it up. but the distribution carries over for 6 years. Well, Florida Atlantic got none of that money last year. Zero.
You would think it'd be a bigger hit for somebody like them than it is for Washington State or Oregon State.
Yeah, it depends on what your budget is, Todd.
No, that's true, too.
I mean, in other words, you're... now, I mean, that's always been the problem with the suit. He's always had a champagne life on a beer budget. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Neil Kulong in the next half hour. And Todd Zelecki in the final half hour. Rob Brooks, the play-by-play voice of Iowa women's basketball, will join us on Thursday. I go back with Brooksy a long time. Knew his dad a long time. Ooh, and Mike DeCourcy is going to join us tomorrow. Anxious to talk to Mike. Great to have Mike on the show. So, but with everything going on with Caitlin Clark, I thought Rob would be the perfect guy to have on. Yeah.
I think that's something I would like to experience through, like, from his view. I don't think I'd want to experience it from Caitlin's view.
When Penn State made the Final Four in 1954, they played in Iowa City for the right to go to Kansas City. Played two games. LSU and Notre Dame, I want to say. You know who broadcast the games? There. Rob's father, Bob. Yep. Yep. So... And, of course, you know, Rob did the national championship game last year. But, I mean, this is, you know, let's face it. I mean, the security, we're going to get into the security, the police escorts, things like that. Now, I've tried to tell the suit over the years, you got to remember the police escort is in front of you. It is not in back of you. Right? He thinks every time it's a back of him, oh, good, I've got, no, that's here. There's a reason they're behind you with the lights on. He scares the daylights out of me. All right. oh, goodness gracious. Penn State's going to Rec Hall to practice today. Court's finally down, so they have the court in there. Because they have to bring a court in. They can't play on the surface. They can't play on the court in there. So they had to bring a court in. They put it down yesterday, probably finished it this morning, going to practice in there this afternoon. And I had to make arrangements with Pat Dorney yesterday. I said, Pat, I said, I'm going to call you when I get there because the place is locked all the time now. And I said, it's one of the buildings I don't have a key to get into. And I said, you know what's stupid about that? He goes, what? I said, there's a section of in the building behind the court that's named after me. I said, I still can't get in. It's like, really? Okay. Like, who thinks this is a good idea?
You think a key would come with that?
Yeah, you'd think. I actually asked for one, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. Yeah. And they never did it. That's okay. I've got the keys to the place I need, which is fine. But, yeah.
I'm assuming that was a place that was unlocked for a long time.
Oh, you know, it was. No, it was. And then after everything happened here, they decided to turn everything into a fortress. And
Well, I mean, we used to go down to the gym at Susquehanna all the time when we were younger, either to shoot around or stuff like that. And good luck with getting in there now. It's one entrance, ID.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I mean, everybody is now taking more and more precautions on, you know, buildings being open. So, I mean, and you understand that? You understand that? But at the same time, there was always something fun about, hey, let's go to Rec Hall, play a pickup game. Yeah, let's go into the IM building and play racquetball. let's go into rec hall, play squash. I mean, you can do it. You just need to, you know, get clearance, a key. You got to go through a lot to, you know, I don't know if there's paperwork. I remember one time taking a film crew in there. I did a piece for Black History Month on the history of the African-American athlete at Penn State, which is long and deep, going back to Cumberbatch Posey back in the 20s, late teens, early 20s, who played baseball and basketball at Penn State. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And all the way through, and I had Jason Kabinda narrate one half of it on the football practice field, and I had Simone Lee, who was taking my class at the time, so it made it easy to arrange. She's a volleyball player. Narrate the other half in rec hall. Okay. So when it came time for Simone to do hers, we're going through and they won't let us in, they won't let us in, they won't let us in. And finally somebody in the group says, you know, the back area is named after him. They went, what? It's like, huh? I said, because I didn't say anything. I said, yeah, we'll let you in. I'm like going, great. I said, it's nothing to do with me. I said, but I made this arrangement 2 days ago. It's like, come on, get yourself together. All right. Neil Coulong, next half hour. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.